Hey, what's happening, man? It's your partner, Lawrence Jackson, a.k.a. the Fantasy Football Lord. You're now tuning in to the Lord Don't Lose podcast. Let's get it.
Look, I got hype on this. Fresh white kicks, boy, I like my crisp. Dress real nice, got the ice on wrist. Now I shine real bright like the White Stone Bridge. At night, I got hype on this. Fresh white kicks, boy, I like my crisp. Dress real nice, got the ice on wrist. Now I shine real bright like the White Stone. Yeah, started shit uptown chick. Something I can rock.
What's happening, people? We are back here, Lord Don't Lose podcast. It's your boy Lawrence Jackson Jr. We back up in this thing, man. Week 3 in the books, on to week 4, and we got a couple of things to be talking about today. It was a good week 3, definitely. Week 3 was kind of wild, actually. You know, so many crazy things happened. We saw Lamar complete the 4th-and-19, Justin Tucker hit a 66-yard field goal, NFL record, to win the game. We saw the Chiefs go down for a second week in a row. How they looking, man? How they looking? They dead last up in that division right now. Still an early season, though, man. Still an early season. Raiders still undefeated. Broncos still undefeated. Dallas Cowboys Monday Night Football put that thing on the Philadelphia Eagles, and they just had the Eagles had no room to do nothing. I mean, Jalen Hurts, you know what I'm saying, he did his little thing as far as fantasy wise, but the Dallas Cowboys is looking good. They fans is still ass, at least 98% of y'all, 98% of the Dallas Cowboy fans is obnoxious in they ass. But Dak Prescott, you know, makes that team likable. You know what I'm saying? He's made that team likable the past couple years. But, yeah, again, man, you know, you both New York teams still ain't won no game. Still ain't won no game. Jets, Giants, 0-3 apiece. You mean to tell me you got two teams in New York and you can't combine to get one W in the first 3 weeks, 6 games total? Come on. Giants, how you out here losing to these Falcons, dog? How these Giants out here losing to these Falcons, man? Speaking of Giants, we'll talk a little bit about one of the Giants here in just a little bit. We'll talk about Kyle Pitts today. A lot of folks feeling one way about Kyle Pitts going forward. Another group of folks feeling another way about Kyle Pitts going forward. We'll get into that. We'll talk Saquon. We'll talk Ezekiel Elliott. And obviously, we will talk waiver wire pickups going into week 4 here. So, we got a few things to get into, man. We got a good little quick show for y'all today. Obviously, I ain't gonna hold you long here. But, let's go on and get into it. All right, we just had the Monday Night Football game last night. Dallas Cowboys blew the doze off the Philadelphia Eagles, and it looked like they division to lose, man, to be deadly honest with you. You know, you got the Eagles in there, the Giants who ain't won no game, Washington football team 1-2, you know, and the Washington football defense is just giving it up easy, like, they ain't even on that like that no more, man. Like, they go to Atlanta this week, and Atlanta might light them up. But, they look, Dallas defense, after week 1 versus the Bucks, I said, this got to be at least a top 15 unit. And they have gotten better. Micah Parsons has put a battery in the back of that defense. Trayvon Diggs is taking that next step, and he should be a Pro Bowler at the end of this season. If not, if he goes even a little further, could potentially be an All-Pro. He's got 3 interceptions. 2 of them is just 2 ball-hawking plays. And Trayvon Diggs was one of my favorite DBs coming out of last year's draft, and I'm happy to see him flourishing. I think it's because he switched back to that number 7. But that boy Trayvon Diggs looking good. Cowboys just looking good as a whole. You know what I'm saying? No longer is Dak having to throw for 400 yards trying to come back. You know what I'm saying? They got on that run game, and they win. Remember what happened when Dallas was winning games early on in Dak and Zeke's career? That's when Zeke was at his best. They were running that football. Speaking of Zeke, let's talk about this man, because it sure is a lot of folks out there who, at 26 years old, felt like that man was washed. Because Tony Pollard is a good football player at the running back position, Zeke had to be washed. He had to be done. Because Tony Pollard is a faster running, you know, a little more explosive running back coming out the backfield. But that's the thing about it, folks. They two different running backs. And there's folks who say, oh, well, Tony Pollard is this. Well, you could have been right. Well, not could have been. You are correct on that. Tony Pollard is that. You know what I'm saying? But that didn't mean you had to shit on Ezekiel Elliott too, man. There is a world, because this does exist. There is a such thing as teams who have multiple running backs who can produce. Tony Pollard could be good, and Zeke could still be that lead running back, which he was last night. 17 carries, 95 yards, 2 tubs in that end zone. Then he put 3 catches and 3 targets on that. That's a healthy 20 touches for Ezekiel Elliott. You folks who thought Zeke was done, you folks who thought he couldn't get back to his regular self, you holding that right now. You holding that L right now. Today, you is. I don't know about later, but right now, you holding that L. The past 2 games, Ezekiel Elliott, 33 carries, 166 yards. That's good for 5 yards a carry and 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. A lot of y'all was after week 1 when he had 11 carries for 33 yards and performed like a straight-up stud in the pass pro game. Folks was like, oh, man, we told you he washed up. Listen, versus the Bucks, hell, ain't nobody ran the ball against them yet. You know what I'm saying? His role for that particular game was to keep Dak Prescott from getting killed. Know what I'm saying? And look, this is still early in the season. You best believe down the line, when it get cold, who you think they going to lean on? It's going to be really time to feed Zeke then, dog. It's going to be really time to feed Zeke. Zeke is still that dude. He is currently RB8 right now after 3 weeks in fantasy football. So if you took him, if you took a shot on Zeke in your draft, I know you was a little shook. If you took him in your fantasy draft and you was a little shook after week 1, right? But it's going to start coming into fruition. Everything going to start working. Tony Pollard being as good as he is helps Zeke. They both could get their touches. They both could be good. And that's okay. You ain't got to say, oh, Tony Pollard got to get all the touches. No, because in that case, you're wrong. This team still needs Zeke, and that's clear as day. When Zeke is at his best, the Dallas Cowboys offense is at their best. That's just the facts. That's proven. That is proven. And on a fantasy tip, congratulations to those who took a chance on him, because he's currently RB8 and he gonna climb. Believe that. Moving right on along to another NFC East running back, another stud running back who, you know, last week at NBC Sports Edge, I put out a little video that said, hey, this is your time. Try to go buy low on this dude real quick. The small window still open. It ain't open no more. Saquon Barkley is back in full effect now, man. Now, the Giants' offensive line ain't good, right? We know that. That's cool. Barkley only ran, he had 16 rushes for 51 yards and a touchdown versus the Atlanta Falcons in week 3. That's only 3.2 yards a carry. However, he saw 7 targets, tied for the lead on his team in that. By the way, 7 targets, 6 catches for 43 yards. Now, that's a total of, 23 touches. Now, we knew that it was going to be what it was going to be when Devontae Booker, his primary backup, was a healthy scratch. The next running back in that game, week 3, only saw 2 carries to Saquon 16. Now, while the line is bad and Danny Dimes will take away some rushing attempts, Saquon Barkley is in a position to First off, he's a great talent. That's first and foremost. Secondly, it's gonna be all about the touches and the opportunity. The same reason why I said before the season, Najee Harris would be a top seven running back. He's currently RB6. Not people said, oh, well, the Steelers line is gonna be bad. I know that. We all know that. But the man just had 19 targets in the pass game. Same's going to hold true for Saquon, mainly because if the Giants want to win some games, if they want to do better on offense than what they look like versus the Falcons defense held the Giants to 14 points. Like, man, come on, man. That was just funny. But they going to have to rely on Saquon. You're going to have to feel like he could break that one. Obviously, he can. He had a few burst runs against Atlanta, but the overall offense just stank. They just stank with it. But Saquon Barkley is going to be that lone bright spot in that offense that you can see going forward. From this point going forward, I don't see how he ain't inside the top 10 running backs. And like I say, that window of opportunity to try to buy low on him is now closed because he done scored that first touchdown. You know, they done gave him the ball in every which type of way, out the backfield catching. They done gave it to him at the goal line. So, like I said last week on the video, as he starts to trust that knee more and more, he just gonna get better and better. He still ain't even at that point 100% yet, but he was still able to provide you with a with the running back one type workload and points in week three, despite the offense overall just looking putrid, just horrid. They just ain't look. You would hope for more versus the Atlanta Falcons, but the Giants is they ass, man. But Saquon Barkley though, he that boy. So plan accordingly. Again, if he ended up falling to you in the second round of your fantasy draft, congratulations. I'm clapping for you right now. If you hated on it, well, then he going to end up tearing your ass up when you face him in your fantasy matchups. And that pretty much all I got to say on Saquon. But he back, though, for real. All right, now let's talk a little Kyle Pitts. Probably the most polarized rookie coming into 2021. A lot of people on opposite ends of the spectrum. Then you got your regular line straddlers who you know, they do what they do. So here we are with it. Kyle Pitts currently sits as the tight end 13 in PPR scoring through 3 weeks. Now, after weeks 1 and 2, it felt really good to feel really good about him because we saw the target share. We saw the amount of snaps that he played and where he was lined up on the field. Coming into week three, he was at tight end 8 in PPR scoring. And the interesting thing about that was coming into week three as tight end number 8, the 7 dudes ahead of him had all scored a touchdown. So he was the highest ranked tight end who hadn't scored a touchdown yet. So I felt extremely great coming into the matchup with the Giants because they're about as bad as the Falcons. So this was supposed to be the breakout game for Kyle Pitts, and it wasn't. And you know what? That's all right. It is funny, though, however, people who were against drafting Kyle Pitts in fantasy in the 4th, 5th, 6th round, whatever, in your redraft leagues, they already coming out the woodwork in week three weeks. They're ready to say they've quote-unquote won. Let me tell you something. Through 9 weeks last year, 9 weeks, Todd Gurley was RB6 in PPR scoring, and I was doing the Deion Sanders dance on y'all ass. That's 9 weeks. We got guys coming out in the woodwork after week three ready to say, oh, I told you these tight end, Ricky tight ends, and that, shut your ass up, boy. Listen, it is it's 3 weeks. He's still getting lined up all over the field, right? He didn't have the targets in week three. The Falcons had to win a damn game. They needed to find a way to win the damn game. And if that included throwing to the third string tight end, not even Hayden Hurst, for a touchdown, so be it. So be it. Now, Matt Ryan did target Kyle Pitts in the end zone, right? And the Giants committed pass interference. That then set up the Falcons on the 1 yard line, and they scored another way. So, listen, ask me right now how much I'm worried about Kyle Pitts. None. Buy low on Kyle Pitts right now. I'm damn sure going to try to, except for the fact that people that I play in fantasy league with, they know what I do. So it'll be a little hard for me, but I would advise you to buy low on Kyle Pitts, right? It is the perfect time. He just saw only 3 targets. He didn't make his first catch until late in the third, early in the fourth quarter. Now, at the same token, now, you picked the man 4th overall, Atlanta Falcons. Come on, now. If you were going to trade Julio, you should have traded Matt Ryan with him. But since you didn't trade Matt Ryan, which is cool, and you drafted the tight end 4th overall, right? Use him, right? They'll use him. But like I say, the Falcons had to worry about winning a game. They could start out 0-3. 0-3 is bad to start in the NFL. But all you dudes that's ready to come out the woodwork and think it's over and Kyle Pitts going to finish his tight end 11 or something like that, let the season play out. Let it play out. I hope anybody in my league right now who listening in my leagues, hell, give them to me. I need to help my teams. That's crazy, man. We got to get the waiver wire pickups for week 4 right about now. All right, man, let's get to these waivers for week 4 coming up, man. Let's start with these quarterbacks. Is Sam Darnold a guy you could pick up? Currently QB12. He is playing pretty solid right now. Now I say this, here, they got the Cowboys coming up. It'll be a nice little test for them with an improving Cowboys defense. I'd only start them if you really had to, but the dude you should be picking up and starting is my cousin Kurt, a.k.a. Kirk Cousins, currently residing at the QB5 spot in fantasy football. 8 touchdowns, no interceptions, and now everybody's starting to realize Kirk Cousins is a nice little quarterback. I've seen it all over Twitter. Everybody trying to give them flowers now. I've been trying to tell you folks for the past 3-4 years that Kirk Cousins be that boy. However, the Vikings defense is not elite like it once was, you know, when they had Case Keenum leading them to the NFC Championship. Go and pick up Kirk Cousins, put him on your roster. I would say the main running back, moving along to the running backs to get off your waivers this week would obviously be Chuba Hubbard, back up to Christian McCaffrey, who suffered an injury on Thursday Night Football. Upon Hubbard's entry into the game, he saw 11 carries for 52 yards, 5 targets in the passing game for 3 receptions and 27 yards. He's always been the clear RB2. If you were a CMC roster owner and you didn't have him, you know, now you got to compete with him on the waivers and the bidding and all that good stuff. Another running back I like to see y'all take a shot at is Zach Moss. Weird little start of the season for him. Started off as a healthy scratch in week 1. Bills lost that game. He came back in week 2 primarily as a backup. Got in the end zone. Now, here in week 3, saw 16 touches, 91 total yards and a touchdown. Now, I will say this, in picking up Zach Moss, it is definitely an unpredictable backfield. It seems like the Buffalo Bills can go with the hot hand. You can see Singletary. You can see Zach Moss. You might even see Matt Breida up in there. But definitely get Zach Moss on your roster. I know he was a drop candidate after he was a healthy scratch. But the way he looked in the preseason and how he was running with the offense, it just didn't look like he was going to be some dude who was, you know, a healthy scratch every week here and there. At wide receiver, I'm only going to talk about one man. And that one man is back because he got 9 lives. 9 lives. Josh Gordon, ladies and gentlemen, he is back upon his reinstatement into the NFL, he immediately signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I would say pick him up and put him on your bench, especially if you're this guy right here, right? If you that guy that holds Mecole Hardman. If you a guy who like to believe in this is Mecole Hardman's time, or you a guy who find yourself in a position of having to start a, you know, DeMarcus Robinson or Byron Pringle. Those are daily fantasy type starts too, by the way. If you in situations like that, I would say pick up Josh Gordon. It gives them a different type of receiver that they don't have on that team. And this ain't me making some proclamation about what he going to do, because who knows what's going to happen with Josh Gordon. Hopefully he back. Still, listen, him getting signed by the Chiefs right now, Josh Gordon getting signed by the Chiefs right now at 30 years old, just goes to show you, had this dude been able to play a full career, he had first ballot Hall of Famer type talent, because he's 30 years old right now, still getting picked up in the league by good teams too. He done played for the Seahawks, the Patriots, now he on the Chiefs. That only go to show you the talent that he possesses. And you know, I'm glad to see him back. Hopefully he make do with this. Let's get to a couple of tight ends, then we'll wrap this thing here up. I'm going to talk about two guys. Let's start first with Dalton Schultz, because he balled out yesterday. 7 targets, 6 receptions, 80 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Now, the 2 touchdowns is going to be a thing that's hard to duplicate, but you like to see the targets and where they was at. It just go to show you that Dallas got different types of ways they could win the game, or different types of ways they could compete in the game. Now, I'd be more inclined to feel like if Dallas is ahead and they're running the ball like they should, that's winning Cowboys football. So then that would make the passing game more prone to get funneled to the tight ends in that offense. You get that run game going with Zeke and Pollard, boom, set up that play action. And who that going to go to? Dalton Schultz. You saw CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper kind of take a back seat to Dalton Schultz in that game, because that's how the game was going. That's how it was scripted. And they were leading. So definitely pick up Dalton Schultz. And right now, that's the tight end I prefer in Dallas over Blake Jarwin. Tyler Conklin is come full force as the Vikings tight end 1. And I just spoke about Kirk Cousins earlier. The way he's playing right now, you want every piece of that Vikings offense. So Tyler Conklin coming off of 8 targets, 7 catches for 70 yards, and a touchdown. I feel more confident in a guy like Schultz and Conklin than I do at this point guys like Jonnu Smith and Gerald Everett. 2 guys I admittedly was high on coming into the season, but you know what? You get new information, you don't be stubborn with it. You get new information and you go with it, because I'm trying to help y'all win these fantasy leagues. I'm not going to keep saying, hey, stick with Jonnu Smith and Gerald Everett. No, 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 no. Dalton Schultz and Tyler Conklin getting 7 and 8 targets here. That is what you want. You feel me? So those are your waiver pickups for WeFo. Try to get them. Don't spend all your money trying to get Peyton Barber, please. Please don't do that. And until next time, folks, if you ain't following me on social media, hit me up. All of them at Lord Don't Lose. And now, until next time, y'all hold it down.
I appreciate y'all, folks, for tuning in to the Lord Don't Lose podcast, brought to you by Hell Me. At night, I got hype on this. Fresh white kicks, boy, I like.